The Parshas Mishpatim is an opening to talk about different aspects of Choshen Mishpat, monetary issues, people's respect of other people's money. But just before we get to the particular case, which is a popular case, just a bit of background. I saw in the news last year that in March of 2019, a Freetown, Massachusetts man was arrested for keeping a flat-screen TV that was sent to his house by mistake. 35-year-old Nick Memo says that he bought and paid for a 75-inch flat-screen TV on Amazon. A third-party shipping company delivered it. They also gave him a larger model TV by mistake. So he had the one he ordered, and plus another TV. When asked if he ever thought that he made a mistake and whether he should return it, he said, "I did, and I looked into all the laws and said, you know, it's a scratch ticket. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Amazon said I had nothing to worry about. I made no wrong decisions at that point," he said. The shipping company told Boston 25 News they made numerous attempts to contact Memo before they went to the police. And the shipping company says Memo signed for the delivery, something that he disputes. Memo says he thought he was going to be arrested. He would have just paid for the extra TV or given it back. Now he's looking at the possibility of jail time. Now, I don't know what happened to this individual from Boston the last year or so, but there's obviously particular details here, a third-party shipping company, things like that, but the idea is that a person has received something they did not order in the mail, a second for something. You ordered a book from Amazon or some company, and the book didn't come, so you tell them, you know, I didn't get it, so they said, no problem, we'll send you another one, and all of a sudden, the next day later, you get two in the mail, or something like that, or something happens, you end up with something you didn't exactly order. What is the policy, what's the halacha in those cases? Just to note, we'll just tell you what the Federal Trade Commission says is the law. On their website, they say that you don't have to pay for something you get by mistake in the mail. Federal law prohibits mailing unordered merchandise to consumers and then demanding payment. So they ask on the frequently asked questions on the FTC's website, am I obligated to return or pay for the merchandise I never ordered? Answer, no. If you receive merchandise that you didn't order, you have legal right to keep it as a free gift. Question, must I notify the seller if I keep unordered merchandise without paying for it? Answer, although you have no legal obligation to notify the seller, you may write the seller an offer to return the merchandise, provided the seller pays for shipping and handling. Let's talk about what the halacha is in this case. So regardless of what the federal laws and things like that, what does the Torah say about receiving something that was sent to you by mistake, and what's the law in this case? What if you order something, it doesn't come up, and you ask for it again, two times, things like that? So what are we talking about in this particular case? So this is essentially an issue of Hashavas Haveda, and that's what we're going to discuss for the rest of the evening. So if the company is Jewish-owned, and there's no questions, you have a mitzvah Hashavas Haveda, it's mandated in the Torah if you have an object from a company that was sent to you by mistake, so then the halacha is clear that you have to return the object at the end of the day. Now we're here for the next 20 minutes. That's a very easy shiur. It's the pasuk in the Torah. The more complicated thing is if it's sent to you by somebody who is not Jewish. Amazon is not owned by Jews. You have a company that's not Jewish-owned, and they send you an item by mistake that you did not order. What is the halacha say in such a case? So the Gemara Bava Kamma on Kuf Yud Gimel says there's no chiyuv of returning avedas akum. There's no responsibility from the Torah to return a lost object of a non-Jew. The Torah says later on in the end of Devarim, l'kol avedas achicha, you have to return avedas achicha, the lost object of your brother, and this is cited l'halacha by the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilin Avedim Perakid Aleph and the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat in Siman Reish Samach Vav. Let's look at the lashon of the Rambam, just the first part, because there's three parts of the Rambam, but just let's look at the first part. Avedas oved kochavim muteres shne'amar. If you have the aved, the lost object of a non-Jew, you're allowed to keep it. Shne'amar avedas achicha, the object of your brother. Va'machzira hareza over avera. Not only that, not only do you not have to return it, if you do return a lost object of a non-Jew, then you're violating an avera. B'pnei shehu masik yedei rishai olam, because you are upholding the sinners of the world, people who worship avodah zarah. You're enabling them and enhancing their lives by giving back this object. Now, a point about those two comments before we move on. It is true that we do treat non-Jews differently when it comes to issues of Choshen Mishpat versus Jews. However, it depends on what the interaction is specifically. It's not one rule across the board. Certainly, if you are lying, stealing, cheating a non-Jew, that is also without question, and there's nothing to talk about. However, if we're talking about areas of Choshen Mishpat that are extra, chasadim, nice things we do at necessarily is the norm of society or is the standard responsibility in society. So then, in those cases, there is no responsibility, there's no chiv in the Torah to treat a non-Jew the same way you would as a Jew. Meaning, there are certain laws in the Torah in which we do because of closeness and we are brethren with one another, and things that we are mandated to do because of relationship from one Jew to another. However, those things are not mandated for a non-Jew because they are not achicha, they are not your brethren. So, for example, the two cases that comes up the most are ribbis, lending with interest. It is normal in society to lend money with interest. To not lend money with interest is strange. It's weird that we don't lend money with interest to other Jews. It's a strange thing. Why don't we do it? As the Maharal explains, because achicha, we're brothers. You would not, if your brother borrowed, you know, $100 from you, you wouldn't say, you know, I'll take 105 at the end of the month. That would be a strange thing to do to your brother, someone you're very close with. You do him a favor as a courtesy to lend them money. But for somebody who's not your brother, someone who's not close to you, why would you not ask for interest? That would be a normal thing to do in the business world. We have a courtesy amongst other Jews to not lend with interest. The same thing with Hashavas Aveda. Generally, the rule in the world is finders keepers, losers weepers. That is how it works. You find an abandoned bicycle on the side of the road. Most people would not assume that you have to go around schlepping around the whole town looking to own this bicycle. It's a nice thing if you do it, and maybe they'll put you on the 5 o'clock news to say, you know, nice Samaritan did something, but it's not expected that every single lost object you find across the street, you would go and search around to find that a person out of common courtesy.
That is the law. The valuable product, you have to go to the police and don't find it. That is the law. With finding and personal property, if you find, let's say, let's say $100 million, you can't keep that cash. You have to report it to the police, and they'll give it to you after a length of time if nobody claims it, stuff like that. So it's not.
So there's somewhere in Bahrain between a stick of gum and $100 million.
No, I'm saying it's what's similar to Chazal, that they aren't going to make you a stick of gum, but the principle is that it's not fine as weepers in America.
Not in all cases, but there's a certain amount in certain districts, in certain places like that. But in most cases, if you find a lost object in the middle street, you find a baseball glove, you find a bat, you find something around, the assumption is you pick it up and it's yours, certainly in most cases. The Chavos Yair points out in Tshuva that it goes the other way as well. He says, the halacha is a non-Jew has no mitzvah, Shavas Haveda, towards a Jew as well. We know that the laws of Dinim and Gzela apply to non-Jews as well. It doesn't go it goes the other way as well. A non-Jew has no mitzvah Shavas Aveda towards me. Why would he? We're not achicha. We're not brothers. He has no responsibility to go and return things to me as well. And that's a nafkamina in the following case. Let's say a non-Jew finds an object and then he converts the next day. Does he have to go and bring it to the Jew? So the Chavos Yair says no, because in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, you need two things have to be at the same time. You have to be Jewish, and the person has to be Jewish at the same time. But when you picked up the object, you weren't Jewish, and therefore he says there's no reason to return the object at the end of the day. It has to be both parties are Jewish in order for the mitzvah, the Chiyuv of Shavas Aveda, to occur. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Vav Amud Beis goes further, and then he says, again, that not only is there no Chiyuv, but there is an Isser to return it to a non-Jew. So there's a machlokes in the Rambam and Rashi regarding why one not only does not have to, but should not return a Shavas Aveda in those cases. The Rambam says, Machzik de Ove Aveira, if someone who is idolatrous worships of Avodah Zarah, you're going to go and now give them an object that's going to support them in their lifestyle and what they do, and therefore that would not be appropriate. Now, the Be'er HaGola writes here in Shulchan Aruch, and the Sefer Chassidim as well, in Osh Shin Nun Ches, that this only applies to Oved Avodah Zarah, someone who you know for sure worships Avodah Zarah. However, nowadays, if we can assume that the person is not, we don't have to assume every single non-Jewish worshipping of Avodah Zarah, there's no problem returning an Aveda to a guy. You don't have to call up the person on the phone and say, excuse me, I have an object with your name on it. Could you tell me where you go on Sundays or on Fridays? You know, what's going on? You're not responsible to do that. We assume that the person is not necessarily over to Avodah Zarah, and the Be'er HaGola would say that according to the Rambam, and the Torah Tumimah says this well in Parshas Kisetze, one would be allowed to turn it to a non-Jew who does not worship Avodah Zarah. However, Rashi in Ksuvas Tesvav and Beis explains that has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. The whole prohibition to return it is to distinguish between Jew and non-Jew. For example, when it comes to ribbis, when it comes to lending with interest, it is usher to lend to a non-Jew without ribbis. Not only do you not have to lend to a non-Jew without ribbis? You're prohibited to lend without. You must lend to a non-Jew with interest. The reason is because if you lend without any interest, says Rashi, to a guy, then you're not distinguishing between Jews and guys in any manner. What is the special bond between Jew if you're treating the whole world the same way? There's a special camaraderie between Jew and Jew, whether it is the returning of objects or whether it is the lending with interest. And if I go and I now make every single person in the world the same level, then I'm undermining the whole special relationship between one Jew to the next. And therefore, Rashi says, not only do you not have to return the object, but you may not return the object because of it undermines the whole principle of achicha between Jew and other Jew. So, how do we pass between the machlokes in Rambam and Rashi? So, the Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Samech Vav brings this halacha down as a din in a non-Jew and does not use the expression of avodah zara or akum. He says anyone who is a nachri, a guy, and doesn't distinguish between someone who worships avodah zara or not. And seemingly, according to many of the commentaries, the Beis Yosef follows Rashi in saying that one should not return an object to any non-Jew. And the final halacha is as follows. So if you look back in the Rambam, so the Rambam says in the next line another qualification. The Rambam says, "Vim hechzira lekadesh es Hashem kedei shifaru es Yisrael v'yadu Shem bali amuna harezim b'shavach u'bemakum sheishchil Hashem aveidaso asur v'chayv lachzira." The Rambam says, if by not returning the object it will be a chil Hashem, so then you must return it as well. And there's no distinguishing between Jew and non-Jew. Rav Moshe has a piece in the Dibros Moshe where he says that we see from the Pasuk that there is no Hashavas Aveda for a guy. However, if you take that Aveda, does that mean it's yours? Fine. I don't have to return the lost object of a non-Jew. But if I do take it, does that make it mine though? Maybe it's in this limbo where it's not mine, but it's not anybody else's. So Rav Moshe cites the Bach and the Shach, who seem to say that it's not yours. And, for example, they say, you couldn't use such an esrog on sukkahs because it's not lachem, it's not yours. If you find an abandoned esrog that was owned by a non-Jew before sukkahs, now the first day of sukkahs comes, so Rav Moshe says that you cannot use that esrog on the first day. Why? Because it's not lachem, it's not yours. It's not his, but it's also not yours. It's somewhere in between in those situations. Most achronim argue with this premise of the Shach and the Bach, and they say that any Aveda, any object, lost object, that doesn't have a Chiyuv Hashava, a responsibility from the Torah to return that object, automatically becomes yours. It's yours right away, there's no waiting period, it's 100% yours. So Rav Moshe has a Chiddush. Rav Moshe's Chiddush is that if there's a possible Chil Hashem in not returning the object, then the object is not Hefker. At that moment, where there's a possibility of a chil Hashem and you're not giving back that object, it does not become ownerless in Hefker, and therefore, keeping such an object not only would be an issue of chil Hashem, but it would be gzela, says Rav Moshe. It would be stealing, because there was never a moment in which you were free to have this object, because the feeling, the expression, the reality of chil Hashem is hovering over that object at all times, and as long as you were holding on to it and not giving it back, the issue of gzela exists at every moment. The Rambam then asks, what if the case is not a chil Hashem, but returning would be a kiddush Hashem? So again, if we look in the Rambam, the Rambam says that v'mechzira l'kadosh Hashem k'dei shi'faru es Yisrael v'yadu Shem bali amuna harezim ha'shabach. If you feel that returning would be a kiddush Hashem to show, you know, the greatness of the Jewish people, and to know that we are doing the right thing, that would be Hareza Meshuvach, that would be proper as well. And this is based on the Yerushalmi Bav Metzia, and everything is cited by the Shulchan Aruch. Look in the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, in Simen Reish Samach Vav, the Shulchan Aruch says, Avedas Akum Uteresh, the Avedas Akum is mutter for you to keep, Shnei Amar, Avedas Achicha, it has to be the Aveda of your brother you return. V'machzira Hareza Over Avera, Mepeshu Machzide Over Avera, and if you return it, it could be a sin. V'im Hechzir L'Kadosh Hashem, but if you return the object to make a Kiddush Hashem, Kadesh Yifaru Es Yisrael, the Jewish people should be glorified, V'yedu Shem Bali Amuna Hareza Meshuvach, able to know that we are good people, then that is praiseworthy. It's usur to keep it, says the Shulchan Aruch, in a case of Chil Hashem, as Rav Moshe explained, because there was never a moment of hefker, there was never a moment of ownerless, because Chil Hashem was always pushing that object back towards the non-Jewish owner. There is a fascinating point of the Yom Shel Shlomo. The Yom Shel Shlomo writes in Perach HaGozal Basrin Simen Chaf, and he asks, let's say you're returning the object not because you have grand ideas of making Kiddush Hashem and because, you know, it's good for the Jewish people. You're doing it because you want to be a hero. It'll make you feel good. You'll bring some object back to somebody. They'll give you a pat on the back. It'll be nice for you. You'll feel special about yourself. But not because you have grand ideas about the Jewish people. You're doing it because you want to feel like you have a big S on your chest and you're a Superman and you're a very special person. But you're doing it for selfish reasons, not because you care so much about the Jewish people. So the Yom Shel Shlomo says, the mitzvah is to be mekadesh shem shemayim, and it is not to make you feel good. That's not the point of the mitzvah over here. And therefore he says, if you're only doing it so you feel better about yourself, then there's no hetzer to return the aveda. That's what the Yom Shel Shlomo says. Because you're not doing it to make Kiddush Hashem. You're doing it to make yourself feel better. Okay? One would have to obviously be honest with themselves about what's going on in their mind. We do have a similar concept. It's not so strange. We have the same concept in the laws of Lashon Hara. Why? We know that the Chafetz Chaim lays out rules when you can speak Lashon Hara litoelas, for benefit, for good things, for positive reasons, if you need to help somebody who's in a difficult situation. Lo samad al dam reyach, you can't stand idly by while somebody else is being harmed, right? There are times you have to speak up and say something negative if need be. So the Chafetz Chaim tells us that if you at any moment want to speak Lashon Hara, and it's for a good reason, you're going to save somebody from a pitfall, but at the same time in your mind, you feel that that person you're going to say something negative about is your enemy, and you're going to knock them off their pedestal at the same time. So two birds with one stone. I'm going to help out this guy, but I'm also going to give it to this guy who is a good-for-nothing, you know, terrible person, and I'm going to get a geschmack out of speaking Lashon Hara about him. So the Sma says that it's usur to speak Lashon Hara in that case. You can't dance at both chasnas. You can't be a tzaddik and want to save this person and want to give it to this guy who deserves the Lashon Hara you're speaking about him because he is a good-for-nothing, you know, piece of whatever. You can't be say both, says the Sma. You can't have a negative kavan at the same time while doing a positive thing. The reason is why? Because your kavan, your intentions, are not latoelis. It's not for anything good. You're doing it because there's a positive outcome, but your real intention is to slander this individual. The Chafetz Chaim says, what do you do in such a case? So he says, go learn some Musar, and go to a shir, go think about what you're doing, and stop hating the person. And then you stop hating the person, and you go speak Lashon Hara L'Toelos about this individual. It would seem it's the same reasoning apply over here. If you have this non-Jew's lost object, and you really want to return it for selfish reasons, but you know there's an Indian of Kiddush Hashem, so go, you know, open up a Rambam, open up a Sefer, learn some Musar, think about, you know, the impact of the Jewish people on the world, the importance of making Kiddush Hashem, you know, cleanse your mind of your improper approach to returning lost objects, and then it would be appropriate, says the Chafetz Chaim, apparently, to go and return the object in that place and to make a Kiddush Hashem. Therefore, what would we say in our case about multiple items from Amazon? This is what I tell people all the time, so this is clearly in halacha. Therefore, in our case, what I would tell people is to notify the sender of the original shipment arriving, ask them what they want them to do with it. Either they will ignore you and say, you know, whatever, keep it, have a nice day, or they won't respond to you. They'll ask you to return it or tell you something else, but they'll give you instructions. The best thing to do in most cases of choshen mishpat questions is just ask the other party. If you simply ask the other party, you will find out what to do, and you will be absolved of all problems. Just have a conversation, send an email, pick up the phone, what should I do with this thing, can I use this, whatever the issue is, and that will alleviate all the problems as well. Now, let's say they say, yeah, I would like the flat screen TV back, sir. Please. Now, who has to pay for postage? Now, again, we saw what the government said, but what does the halacha say? So your primary responsibility is to notify the company that you have their item. That's what your job is. Although the shipping cost for a returned item is usually the responsibility of the customer in most cases, right? It's always a freebie when you have free returns. Generally, generally the company wants to put it on you if you want to return it. And it's nice if they put it on their account if you want to return something. But costs incurred for a Shavas Aveda are not the finder's, and that the owner of the, but that's the owner of the item. And if he's not willing to cover the cost, you are not required to expend any money to return the item. This is a citing of the Rush in Sanhedrin. The second source here in the Rush in Sanhedrin Paraches.
What about if the Jewish Aveda?
What? Even if it's a Jewish Aveda. Certainly Jewish Aveda, and even more so for a non-Jew, for sure. Look at the Rush. The Rush says, Tanya, Minayin Loroes Chaveru Shetova Benahar, Ochaya Goreris, O Listin Boina Love, Shechai Vlahatsilo. If I see that a guy is being drawn away in water, or an animal's coming after him, or there's robbers coming after him, that I have to save him, Shnabar, Lo Samo, Adam Reacha, I have a responsibility to help somebody if I can. Vahamahacha Nafka Mehasim Nafka Aveda Skufo. So, we learn from here the Aveda, this is the Aveda of a person's body. He's not just losing his objects, his life is in danger. Talmud Lomar Vashavo Solo, you have to return it to him. Just like you have to return a lost object, you have to return the person's life to him if possible. Mehasam Hanimili Benashe of a Mitrach Egure Lo Kamashmalan. So, Vahanitzol Chayav Lefroa Lamatzel Sashahotzi. And the person who saved has to pay the person who saved him. Let's say a person was being dragged away in the water, and I quickly went and I bought a raft for, you know, $50 at the store, and I got on the raft and I went down river and I got the person. So the person I save is chayav to pay me the $50 back for the raft. I saved you. That's very nice. But I don't have to pay money to save you. Again, you can work out what you want to do at the end of the day. But al pi din, says the Rush, whatever money is incurred in me returning either your life to you or returning your object to you is not off my back. It's off your back. Whatever money has to be paid is from you. And the Rush is cited by the Beis Yosef and Choshen Mishpat Tav Chavav, the Sma as well. Sma wonders how come the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah don't bring this. But nevertheless, that is the loss. Therefore, you don't have to pay anything in order to get that object back. It's brought clearly by the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchos Metziah. He says, Lefichach ein chiyav hashavas aveda chal al mi shehu baal esek bein malacha bein bechanos o b'shar masuv matan b'inyan sh'al yedei tircho hashavas aveda yagilo eze hefsin minias revach. I do not have to incur any loss in returning that object to you, and it shouldn't make a difference to me. I'll only return it to you if I don't have to pay anything at the end of the day. And the Sefer Hashavas Aveda Kahalacha, so he writes in Perek Yud, that certainly picking up the phone to make a phone call or sending an email is not considered hefsid. That should not be too burdensome for you. Meaning you'll say, picking up the phone? The time is money. That's, that's 5 minutes off my time. How could I do such a thing? Write an email to Amazon or whatever company? What's time is money. How could you do such a thing? That's not a hefsid. Take 5 minutes, pick up the phone, send an email, clarify what you should do with the object, and that will be the best thing at the end of the day. What if they ignore my email? What if they ignore my phone call? So what about in that case? Do I have to send the extra copy back to them? So this is what the Shulchan Aruch talks about as well in Siman Reish Samach Aleph, of a Veda Midas, knowingly giving up the object. You have been warned. You sent an email, two emails, two phone calls. I don't think more than two is necessary at all. You express to the company, I have something, would you like it back? If you don't respond, so then you are clear at the end of the day, and that would exempt you from Hashavas Aveda, because that's what we call an Aveda Midas. You let them know in a normal way, meaning in a responsible way. You didn't send, smoke signals from your backyard. You let them know in a normal fashion that you would communicate, and that's considered an Aveda Midas, and that would be on them. So, again, the best thing is always to ask and to figure out what to do. I'll just end with one of the great stories of about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. This is brought in the biography on page 107. So the author writes, no doubt the most famous instance involving Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's time in Sitveyan in Lithuania, which one which he left felt was a mitzvah to publicize, involved the local postmaster. Shortly after he assumed the position of the rabbi, a Jew came to Rav Yaakov and told him that the postmaster had mistakenly given him change for 100 light note instead for the 10 light note he had given him before. Rav Yaakov advised the man to return the money. Several weeks later, Rav Yaakov was in the post office, and this time the postmaster gave him more stamps than he had paid for. The smile on the postmaster's face as he handed Rav Yaakov his stamps alerted him to the postmaster was deliberately testing testing him to see whether the other Jew had just been an honest fool or had been acting according to the dictates of the new rabbi. Rabbi Yaakov was delighted that he had been presented with such an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem and instantly returned the extra stamps. Years later, he learned from the Holocaust survivors of Tzitvian that the postmaster had been one of the few locals who had been willing to hide Jews in his cellar, and he was convinced that such displays of honesty had been a major factor in the decision. So at the end of the day, you never lose out by putting yourself out there, returning it, even if you could have had a free TV or a second book or whatever it is, or an iPad or whatever you're collecting. You know, you're never going to lose out at the end of the day by putting yourself out there, making Kiddush Hashem, and it's worth these small sacrifices in order to have good news for the Jews and to do the right thing for Yishuv HaOlam and Shalom Ayin Yisrael. Okay?